and brightest day, in blackest night, all other podcasts tremble in fright. Losers cower before the power. Orange is lust, and blues you can trust. Indigos feel, and white ones heal. Yellow scare, and green ones dare. That sapphire love and black hands glove will rock your foundation without hesitation. Chad and Mars face evil's might. Respect their power, for they'll make you see the light.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chad Bokelman.
I'm Mark Marble.
And this is the Lantern Cast.
Episode 629.
More Green Lantern.
Yeah, it seems like it's been forever.
It has for us.
I know. It's not just that we're recording on a different day. It just feels weird. This is probably not going to be a hitting on all cylinders episode.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes. Back in the flow of things. We're trying to be.
Well, should we jump right into it then?
Yeah, I reckon so. So, the main topic of choice is Green Lantern 30, which is the second part of Hero's Quest Do. with Hal and Batman. So yeah, let's dive into this. There's a little bit of meat here, but there's not tons. So we begin in Gotham where I guess, I don't know, it just seems like people in Gotham just love walking down alleys where they shouldn't be, it seems. So it looks like this couple's about to get robbed, and Batman, of course, intervenes and beats the hell out of the criminals. And then as he's finishing up doing that, then he sees the green light of a bat signal in the sky. So Batman knows kind of what's going on here. So he meets Hal. And Hal has this vision, which is interesting unto itself, that he has a vision in his head, which refers to or calls back to whatever the hell the Book of Oa showed him. It's interesting that he sees Krona as the corrupted clone version, which I'm not sure if he literally sees that in his head or that's what we're supposed to see, because we know that's what Krona currently looks like, because Hal certainly references Krona. He sees visions of Krona, visions of his father. And he sees kind of like clone Krona, it looks like, taking him out. But he also has visions of his father. So that's kind of a new twist to this, because we didn't know about that before. Hal kind of collapses. He falls off the building where he met Batman. Batman's grappling hook grabs his ankle and he saves him, I should say. They end up in the Batcave. Batman does a bat scan on him, if you will. And he finds out that physically he's fine, even though there's a few tachyon particles that are abnormal, which seems to be from probably the energy from the Book of Oa that went into him when he got that vision. But they're interrupted by a level 3 threat, cute at Tim's Wharf, obviously referring to Bruce Tim in the animated show. Hal wants to wants to fly them there, but Bruce insists on driving. They take the Batmobile. Hal supposedly. As far as he remembers, or we are supposed to know, I guess, that he never really was in the Batmobile before like this. And he's kind of he's enjoying the tech, but he's being admonished all the time because they're kind of writing Hal to be really annoying here. Like he just won't shut the hell up. And one of the most arguably the only really interesting thing going on here between Hal and Batman throughout the issue is you get tidbits of why Hal theoretically really went to see Batman, because Batman can't really explain what the tachyon, really exactly what's going on with Hal when they're in the Batcave, and that throws Hal off, because it's like, why did I come here then? And he goes, well, you didn't really come here because you expected me to give you an answer. And you get a little bit more of that in the Batmobile, because Batman points out, well, you're here because we aren't friends. He really means close friends, but just in general. But he means we really aren't friends, so you're looking for an honest assessment by someone who doesn't care, who you think doesn't care anything about you. Think being the key word. So they end up at at Tim's Wharf, and there's a bunch of criminals, and there's a bunch of cops, I think, going on. And Batman springs into action. He kind of impresses Hal here. It's also culminated in this like Joker robot thing flying at them through the sky, which Hal slams it, takes a hammer, or more like a mallet thing, like an amusement park, and slams into it. But as soon as he does, it kind of disappears along with the cops and the thugs. So it becomes pretty clear that they're dealing with some kind of high level construct here, and it all comes down to this child, which I know we've seen this before. I don't remember if it was a Green Lantern story or not, but we've seen this story before. That this basically there's a metahuman child who is afraid. He's in the hospital trying to get treated or how to deal with his powers. That's the goal, why his parents brought him there. And he's afraid of Gotham. He's afraid of everything he sees in Gotham, what Gotham represents. So he ends up creating all these images in his head. He creates, Killer Croc. He creates pretty much Batman's rogues gallery and all these things. And Batman is trying to deal with the kid, but Batman, of course, is the biggest fear inspiring object of all. So Hal's the one who really talks his kid down from the ledge. And he talks about, hey, I can create things too, and everything else. I did like when he put the hat and the big fake mustache on Batman. That actually was a really well drawn panel too. But it makes the kid laugh. Hal's not happy. Bruce Wayne is not happy. Batman's not happy. But Hal's trying to bond with his kid and tell him about how once you basically stare down fear, it doesn't have any power over you. So he creates this roller coaster that he takes Batman and the kid in this roller coaster ride above Gotham before returning the child to his hospital room. And that kind of ends that little sub story. Batman tells Hal that he was really good with the kid. And I like when Hal says, was that a compliment? He goes, it was an observation. And he goes, well, you came here for an honest assessment because you wanted the truth from someone who you think doesn't care about you. But I do care, and I've always cared. And he talks about the bond that they have. They both have lost their, both losing their fathers at a young age and how it kind of changed them. And another interesting thing is when Batman says, well, he's kind of always wondered whether, Hal just flies into things willingly without thinking in whether he's just truly fearless or whether because he subconsciously – if it fails, what's the worst that's going to happen? Is he just going to, I'll just die and be with my dad? But then he says, well, that's not really true at all. Batman's assessment is, well, you and I are a lot more alike than I'd care to admit, because essentially we do what we do because we don't want any kids to have to suffer the fate that we both had and the impact that it had on our lives. We want to basically make the world a better place. So he tells Hal, well, at the end of the day, I think you're trying this vision in your head is trying to work its way out, and I think you're trying to fight it. So my advice would be you should just let it out in your own way, because I know you can deal with it. And whatever you do, just take care of it. Come back, because this planet needs one of its greatest heroes. Hal is flattered by that, and just at that moment, Barry Allen calls out to him through his ring, saying, "Hey, Star Sapphire said you were back on Earth, and I could really use your help right now." So that sets the stage for the finale of this hero's quest. Pardue.
Yeah, I hate the art.
I didn't love the art. I think we've seen worse. I don't think Batman's drawn all that horribly at times. Like I said, the panel when he has the mustache on and the hat, that's pretty cool. There are times when I think when you get more close-ups to his face, like when he's talking to Hal and things like that, I think it works. I don't like the cowl too much. I think the cowl's somewhat problematic, but I see where you're going with it. But there are some panels I think work well. They don't seem to do Hal's Green Lantern symbol on his chest particularly well. Seems to be like missing a lot of the time, or borderline missing from the distance, at least in some of these panels. But again, I don't know where we've seen the story before, but I know we've seen the story where there was another kid who was creating energy constructs, pseudo-energy constructs out of and needed basically to be talked down. So it's not an overly original story, though I still think it kind of works.
Yeah, not original story. I should say I don't like the art style, because I think this guy's style is pretty consistent throughout. But you get panels like the one where he turns back after joking with the kid about Batman and him saying sorry, and he looks crazy.
Yeah, I can see that. That's not a well – yeah, and the mask doesn't look good either.
Yeah, so there's just things like that throughout this issue that it looks ridiculous or overly exaggerated. There's also a decision done here at one point. When they first jump out of the Batmobile and he says, like, I could help. And he says, I don't need your help. He lights up his energy off of his fingers, but the energy rips his gloves for some reason. And it's not like that before or after. Do you see that panel?
I'm going back to it. I'm going back to it now.
How can you see anything with all the smoke? That's the idea. I could help. I don't need your help. Are you sure about that? It's right. It's the panel right before the Joker bot.
Yeah. You're right. I do see that. I don't quite under.
Yeah, it just exploded the tips of his finger, his gloves for some reason. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, because I was going back just to make sure that didn't happen originally, like when he had his vision and he fell off, but it didn't. I went back and I looked. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I agree with you.
Yeah, so artistically, yeah, not a fan, which took me out of it for longer than I care to admit. You're right. It's a very, even if it's not exactly a story we've seen before, it's still a very cookie cutter level story. And unfortunately, we don't get much information here. I was holding out hope that we would get some information about this situation here from the story, progressing the plot in some way, shape, or form. But we got even less than I was expecting. So that's not good. This kid's not going to stick around, probably. And then we end with yet another, you know, hey, time for another team up issue situation. I got nothing out of this. I thought, to be very clear and very fair, I thought the interaction and dialogue between Hal and Batman specifically, when they were talking together, not necessarily about the problem at hand and what they think of each other, not necessarily everything else. I thought that was nice. It was good to have a feel-good moment between the two and stuff like that, sort of squash the beef, so to say. But that's really all I get out of this. I like Hal's solution of calming the kid and putting him on a roller coaster. That, cool, great. Other than that, I could have gone without this, unfortunately.
I mean, I agree. I think the highlight of the issue is the interaction between Batman and Hal, but you're right. It's mostly when they're having heart to heart talks, when they're having moments of moving beyond the bravado and the ego and the trying to one up each other, like the making the magic carpet when Hal was taking Batman on the magic carpet, right? That I think that stuff is the highlight. It is odd that arguably the only thing of relevance we get related to what's going on with Hal really truly has nothing to do with Bat. I mean, unless the tachyon thing becomes more relevant, but knowing the way this book honestly is gone, it probably won't be. But moving beyond that potential tachyon thing, the only thing we really get of relevance in here has nothing to do with Batman is the fact that we get to see inside Hal's head when he's having that flashback to whatever the Book of Ower showed him. Because now we know that it somehow relates to his father. Be interesting. It'd be nice if they would tie it into Zombie Hal, Martin Jordan, which we know technically is still walking around somewhere. But that's about the only thing in it. Like I said, I'm kind of go back and forth whether it's also because it's interesting if Hal really sees this clone Krona and automatically knows that it's Krona. It's interesting just because he should have no way of knowing that because nobody's seen clone Krona, only us. But again, that could just be they're showing Hal knows instinctively that it's Krona, and maybe they're just showing us in that vision what he looks like because we know that's currently what Krona looks like. It could go either way there. But other than the stuff about his father, there really is nothing we get out of this a consequence. I mean, I don't think you had to be a master psychologist to figure out that there was a part of Hal that probably was suppressing what was going on here and wasn't dealing with it head on. I think we both kind of were hoping that we were going to get a little more straightforward, the world's greatest detective thing, as at least Hal refers to. So I think at least Jeremy deals with the expectation that probably a lot of people had, whether people were satisfied with the way he circumvented it, is probably another story, another issue. But it's okay. Again, it's kind of weird. It's weird because these three issues really, it seems, unless the Flash issue is dramatically different, now we've had three issues of this, two issues going into the third, where you have nothing else in the Green Lantern universe is progressing at all. We don't see Krona. We don't see the Guardians. We know we're coming up to, you know, issue 600 soon. We also know that, you know, Hal after issue 600, at least temporarily, is not going to be the main focus of the stories. He's not going to be gone, but he's not going to be the main focus. So it's really weird the way this is progressing. And I don't necessarily think that this is going to help those who have issues with the book get over it or feel differently about it.
Yeah, honestly, I don't have anything else to build off of here because there's really nothing to build on. There's nothing to elaborate further on. It just sort of is what it is, unfortunately.
And even though, again, it's enjoyable seeing the lifting of the veil moments between Batman and Hal, I mean, at some point, it's kind of like you just got to let that go. I mean, how long are we still going to build up on the Hal Jordan Batman tension that really, for the most part, really only was born out of post Emerald Twilight? It's funny. I mean, it's funny on one level because, you know, it really was born, I suppose, at a Zero Hour, even though Batman had absolutely nothing to do with Zero Hour. He was a complete non-factor in Zero Hour, which it's still funny that they chose to do that. You got to give him credit for that. They'd never do that now, I don't think. But after a while, it's like, how many times can Hal Jordan and Batman get together and kind of like squash a beef that doesn't really seem to logically exist anymore? Just because Bruce is not buddy-buddy with Hal the way Ollie and Barry are, or they don't have the just easygoing, let's say, relationship that Clark has with him, it doesn't mean that they're like, they really are enemies. It's just the fact that they don't see the world. They have two different worldviews on multiple levels, even though, as Batman pointed out in this issue, that they do have more things in common than Batman probably would like to admit, which is a common thread about why Batman was so hard on Hal post Emerald Twilight, during and post Parallax, is because of what that represented and what that made Bruce think, not just about Hal, but about himself. If that could happen to Hal, I mean, I'm the guy that's walking on the edge every single minute of every single day. What's my likelihood of having something that makes me fall like that too? So, but yeah, it was okay. It did seem like, in a way, your classic filler episode or issue.
For sure. I hope the next one is not that. I expect more out of a Barry, a Hal storyline.
Yeah, I would certainly hope that's the case. I would think that it's if we don't get that, then it's like, what really was the purpose of all these issues, really?
Other than to buy time for Zermanico and let DCKO play out.
Yeah, I suppose. What number of the current issue of the current series is going to be Green Lantern 600? Do you remember? We know it ain't 31. That's obvious.
I don't know. I'll have to look it up and get back to you.
Yeah, I just was kind of curious, like, how many more. Because it also makes you wonder, again, because I hope they don't do this, because this is, I would assume they're not going to do this, because we know Guy is going to be going on this quest related to the entities. So I'm going to work under the base assumption that the Krona storyline is not going to be wrapped up in the next couple of issues. It doesn't necessarily mean that. I mean, Krona could have the Guardian, he could have the entity somewhere else, and whenever he gets defeated, there's it becomes painfully obvious somehow that, even if it's just a guy, that the entities are alive, so they have to go search for them. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they haven't pushed Krona off stage left again by resolving the story. But it just seems odd that this Krona thing is just hanging out there, not even taking any baby steps. We don't know what the Guardians are up to. It also makes you wonder, it's also like, how long are they going to kick the can down the road before we actually get to see everything Hal sees? Is it going to be like at the end of next episode, the next issue with Barry? Is something going to make Hal just, you know, even if it's just relaxing and basically not trying to block, be completely at ease, and then the image is going to come back to him, so we're going to get to see everything he saw that the Book of Ower showed him? I don't know, but it is kind of meandering. So I think that's this is coming from a book that has not exactly had a lot of, your focus needs more focus. It's kind of been that way for a while, I think.
Yeah, 32 is the seemingly proposal issue, and then 33 is 600.
All right, so we have three more issues. All right, so
yeah. All right, what's next?
Let's do Green Lantern sales real quick. There won't be too much to talk about as we have another absolute Green Lantern pops back up this month. So that kind of does seemingly reinforce the idea that the only time certainly from our opinion isn't based on story, that the only time absolute Green Lantern tends to sell poorly is when they release two issues in a month, because absolute Green Lantern 8, which was the only absolute book in what, November, these were November sales, that was number 14. So absolute Green Lantern is still selling like almost all the absolute books. So clearly people have not abandoned that book overall, whether it's regular Green Lantern fans reading it or who are the people invested just in the absolute line more. Either way, it's still selling. So it is what it is. Green Lantern Corps number 10 was 126, which I believe moved up like four spots. I think it was 130. I don't have last month's numbers, but I'm pretty sure it moved up. I know that. So I think it was 130. Meanwhile, Green Lantern number 29 was all the way down to 150, was down to 157. Again, I'm trying to remember if that slightly ticked up or not. Either way, it sucks. It really doesn't. In all honesty, it doesn't really matter whether the issue before it was in the 160s or in the 140s. It doesn't really matter. Green Lantern 29 should not be selling in the bottom, you know, in the bottom 50 of the top 200. That is just bad. That's embarrassing, actually. It's embarrassing that's especially embarrassing that it's selling worse than Core, even though I guess it makes sense. Core could sell better depending on the stories that are told in that book, because you're dumping the majority of the characters in Green Lantern Mythos into Core, and you only have one or two characters that you focus in on in the main book. So there is a certain logic to it, despite the fact that you would think the main title would always sell better. There is a logic to why a Core book could sell better, even if neither one is doing great. But that's it. Green Lantern certainly does not. Now, the one thing that, as the solicits have indicated, that, you know, Kyle, which is kind of an interesting choice to me, that Kyle is going to be back to being at least the main Green Lantern of Earth and seemingly going to be the focal point, at least whether it's an arc or two arcs or whatever it is, he's going to be the main focus of the primary character in the main Green Lantern book soon, post 600. But it'll be interesting just because what, Comic Book Revolution just loves blaming Kyle as one of the reasons why Green Lantern continues not to sell. That if the book obviously sells better or at least stays, give or take, where it currently is, that I guess you can't really blame Kyle anymore for that. But obviously, if the book completely drops off a cliff, then at least you still couldn't entirely blame Kyle, because it could just be the absence of Hal. But at least their theory will have a little more evidence to support it, I suppose. But that's one of the things I found interesting about once they announced that Kyle was going to, I think the costume is debatable, but Kyle taking back over at least temporarily as the main Green Lantern of Earth. I thought about the sales thing, since he's kind of been one of the scapegoats that's been going on for close to a year now, with Comic Book Revolution saying that and the All In initiative, which probably is more true in my opinion, saying why this book is not selling. It's kind of hard to blame it on Kyle, because Kyle has had so little to do. Even when they gave him something to do, he's had such a little focus been at such a little focal point of the book. But
I think sales for Green Lantern will temporarily stabilize around 32 and 33, because speculator market loves things like proposals. So since 32 is supposed to be the proposal issue, I don't think it's going to get the bump that 600 will get. But it'll probably go up a little bit, and then 600 will go up, and then what happens after 600 is up in the air. Because as of right now, 600's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different variant covers. It's being billed as a $7 issue. It's bringing back Daryl and Ron together to tell a Kyle story in it, so... there's enough here. Plus Kyle's getting a new costume. Speculator market loves new costumes. So I think Green Lantern will go up with 32 and 33. It'll be 34 and on. We definitely need to pay attention to sales wise to see if it does anything for the title to switch the lead to be Kyle, as supposedly that's what we're getting.
And plus, like you and I have kind of jokingly talked about, it will be interesting to see what kind of bump Green Lantern gets. If it's a really, I mean, if for some reason, especially 600, if 600 doesn't get a size, really, if 600 doesn't sell really, really, really well, then that's probably a bad sign for where we are with Green Lantern as a whole. Like we talked about, bare minimum, that book needs to be in the top 50.
I mean,
if that for some reason that Green Lantern 600 is only like is in the top 100, but it's not in the top 50, then that's bad. That means with literally you cooking the books and doing everything you could to try to inspire people to buy this one issue, and you still couldn't get in the top 50. That would be bad. So that's going to be something worth watching to see, but we'll see. We'll have to see what the story is too. I am curious more. I'm curious to see more what will happen post 600 and what they're going to do with Krona too. I want to see where the Krona storyline goes, because Krona is inherently interesting, and the fact that he's doing stuff with the entities, which is probably where Happy is. If we ever find out anything about where Happy is, it would make sense that he might be with Krona, since we know he has a penchant for abducting entities.
And Happy, unless restoring the batteries righted the Spectrum and
Happy. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. He could be gone, but I'm saying if he's not gone, or even where he disappeared to start with, it would, and maybe he would have been gone when the Spectrum was kind of righted as much as it was, but because Krona had already put things in place to take him, because it would make sense, because we know he hoards entities like the stereotypical spinsters hoarding cats. That it would make, and Happy may very well have been, you know, a burgeoning full grown entity just in baby form. So,
right.
Our issue was never but Happy disappeared. It was the fact that they told us he disappeared in the issue we didn't disappear in, and they never, and they just Happy disappeared in this issue of Green Lantern. It's like, no, he didn't. They were going to get Chinese food. That's the last time we saw Happy.
Yeah. Wanted to talk real briefly. Did you see the leaks that I had posted about the McFarlane figures that we got coming?
Some of them, yes.
Yeah. So we've seen some images of the ones that I had talked about over on social media. There was initially a leak, text format style leak, putting out there what McFarlane figures were slated to come this year, because at some point, I think it's late 2026 or fall of 2026 is when McFarlane is no longer doing things. Although I think, didn't somebody say I saw someone say online that McFarlane actually retains the license or naming of like DC Multiverse. So Mattel has to call it something else. I don't know if you'd heard that or not, but yeah.
There have been some conflicting stories about what exactly is going to be going on with McFarlane. Are they really losing all the rights to do anything? Are they retaining some rights? I don't think that's ever been 100% clarified. If it's true that they're still going to be able to make some DC figures beyond 2026, I don't think that's ever been really confirmed officially.
So there's a few things, I'll include some personal interest, and then I'll include, obviously the big ones. There's going to be like a Green Arrow and Canary two-pack, Black Canary two-pack. I'm definitely interested in that. Lanterns, supposedly you're supposed to be getting Black Hand, Indigo. I assume that means Indigo 1 and Star Sapphire. So hopefully we'll see those soon, although we haven't seen any images of it. Well, Larfleeze, we knew we were getting. We got an image of it from, I think, New York Comic Con or something like that on a presentation. We're supposed to be getting a White Lantern Brightest Day Batman. Yep, that's supposed to be coming. And a few other things, but we have seen images of some of these other things, including Hal Jordan from Green Lanterns number 48 and Jessica Cruz from Green Lanterns number 48. We've seen both of those images. I posted them on our Twitter as part of the leaks. What's coming soon. The other thing we're supposed to be getting is Hal Jordan from Green Lantern 48, which is the Emerald Twilight issue where Hal's on the cover in the sling. So that's interesting. But whatever. We're also supposed to, we'll be getting a Zatanna and Blackhawk figure. I'm interested in those. Blackhawk's already been leaked. He looks awesome. Apparently, these last couple ones I'm mentioning, Blackhawk, Zatanna, are actually already appearing in some stores.
Zatanna is cool because not only is it Zatanna, it comes with a Detective Chimp figure, and there is a Platinum variant, which has her more classic style costume, as is same for Detective Chimp, because, you know, Zatanna's, was it corset or whatever that she normally wears is blue or whatever in the modern era, and Detective Chimp's costume, his detective outfit is green, but in the classic version, her corset is like yellow, and Detective Chimp's costume is like a brown, like a dusty Detective Brown sort of a thing. But yeah, so we're supposedly enough about my personal interests. The Jessica Cruz and the Hal Jordan we have seen, except for the Hal Jordan from Green Lantern 48 in the sling, which, you know, we will see if that comes to be. And then, of course, we're supposed to be getting those three Lanterns, Black Hand, Indigo One, and Star Sapphire. Although we are, and then White Lantern, Batman. And then this is already out there, I believe, but Rocket Red is a figure as well of relevance to Green Lanterns. But Green Lantern fans, if you want to go deep enough, you can build up a Rocket Red, you know, army and pair him with your Kilowog figure.
Yeah. It's disappointing that once again we don't get Sam Walker.
Yeah,
Sam Walker would be nice. Considering the number of figures we've gotten from different makes, different companies for some of these characters, it's like there have been so few Sam Walker figures. I mean, what we have the DC Direct figure. And we have what, the Mattel Collectors Club figure? That wasn't even sold like in the United States, I don't think. I think that's it. And the 3¾ figures that came in pack with Hal.
Those were like con exclusives, right?
Yeah, they were con exclusives. It's kind of cool he was teamed with Hal. But either way, other than that, I think those are the only real action figures of Sam Walker that we've gotten. Not counting, you know, Legos and some of the little, the little action style figures that are blocky and stuff. They did a lot of those Lantern figures along with from the movies and things like that. But regular size action figures, there have been so few Saint Walkers. And it's like, I mean, Laura Fleece is cool. I'm glad we're getting a Laura Fleece. But, I mean, come on. Do we, it's Batman, so that explains it all. Another White Lantern Batman. We've had White Lantern Batman. It's like we've had plenty of Star Sapphires at this point. I mean, it's okay. I mean, depending on the costume, if it looks nice, maybe I'll get it, but I don't feel compelled to get it because it's Star Sapphire. But it's just one of those things. It's like, yeah, Indigo One. I mean, there haven't been that many Indigo Ones. That's another figure. I'm trying to remember if Mattel did an Indigo One. I don't think that they did.
You saw that they're doing also maybe of interest to you, Azrael Batman from Batman Nightfall.
Yeah, I did see that one. That would be cool. Again, depending on which out, it says Nightfall. So if it's Nightfall, it should be the blue outfit.
Blue and gold. Yeah.
Yes, I would be interested more in that one than the red one, which is, again, just because he got set on fire when he was fighting Batman, and that's the reason why the blue costume turned red. That's the only reason there was a red costume Azrael Batman outfit. But that's why I'm really looking forward to that, the Funko Pop, my pile of loot shipped. I had it shipped, and that was my Nightfall Batman, my Azrael Batman. That's one of the coolest things that's going to be in that box. But yeah, I would be interested in that. The Azrael Batman suit was cool. I mean, Azrael outfits are always cool, but the Azrael Batman suit when he took over right after Bruce's back had broken. That was good. We'll have to see. Now, what's that Hal figure with the broken arm? Was that a page puncher?
Supposed to be.
That means it's smaller, right?
Usually.
Yeah. That would probably lessen my interest in that figure, unless the sculpt is really cool. It is, like you mentioned, it's kind of an odd choice for an action figure. If it was a regular... See, McFarlane they really don't give you extra arms. They just give you extra hands or something. I was going to say, if it was one of those things where they gave you extra arms, it'd be cool if you could keep his arm in a sling or take his arm out of the sling if it was a regular figure. That would kind of be cool. I don't mind it. That almost would have been another one to do with the cover. I mean, not obviously in lieu of what they gave us. Green Lantern 49 was obviously the only way to go if you were going to do a cover. But arguably, every one of all three parts of Emerald Twilight you could have done a cover with. and they all would have been cool. That could theoretically be their one chance to do a correct parallax, or it would be ironic doing a comic accurate parallax, but it wouldn't have the cape. So it would still not make me happy, but it would be better than what we've gotten. We'll see. I'm always interested in a cool figure, so let's see what they give us.
Yeah, for sure. All right, what's next?
So what did you think about the Thor trailer? Because as we talk about this, by the next time we record, which might be in a few days, the X-Men trailer should officially be out by then.
Oh, the leaked one. Yeah, I saw that one too. This is what you get for scrolling Twitter. I think there was more meat on the bone for the Thor trailer than there was for the Cap one.
Yeah, I think that's true. I don't think emotionally it has some impact. I don't think it resonates in a different way because it was designed for different things. But
yeah. I liked him praying to his father, maintaining some of the lore of Asgard and stuff like that in that way. But I don't know who these trailers, for lack of a better word, are for. They don't do anything for me. I need to see the movie trailer.
Yeah, I think the whole point is to put the pieces on the board and or in the most general sense possible, let you know what the characters' journeys are going to be or focused on. Obviously, there's a commonality in the Thor trailer and the Cap trailer because of children. Which of course probably will be a common thread, whether Doom is really taking children or not, which he probably isn't. But the point is you got the children theme because obviously, Franklin, we still only pseudo appearance of Dr. Doom so far has been with Franklin. So there is that commonality with Steve's a father. Thor is now a father. The motivations of doing why they're doing what they're doing is obviously going to be different and resonate differently than it did before. I mean, the X-Men trailer, we'll talk about more of that when it's officially released. That one's kind of cool too because there's some good lines in there.
Sentinel.
Yeah, at the end, but to be fair, if you for those who have paid attention to some leaks that there's Sentinels being a factor in Avengers Doomsday, it's kind of whether it turns out to be true or not, but that's been rumored for a while that. And there's some relationship between Doom and Sentinels that we're going to see in that movie. So, but Magneto has some cool dialogue in that trailer. You understand in a way why. I mean, it made sense, I guess, if you had to go to the well, why you would go back to all of the original, the Singerverse, if you will, those X-Men, because they are for the most part the more popular versions of the character. It just sucked for Fassbender. Because arguably, if you wanted to have a Magneto who arguably has more gravitas, but if he doesn't have more gravitas, he certainly has more. He's more of a physical threat, and you believe in him as a real danger. That the Fassbender version, which was much more intimidating than the Ian McKellen version, for obvious reasons, based on their age. But it is interesting that they're going that. The X-Men get their own trailer, pseudo trailer. I mean, again, these are just character trailers, obviously. When we actually get a full trailer, again, some people think the Super Bowl, which really isn't that far away now. It's only like about a month away, give or take. That might be when we get the first, actual trailer, when we get to see scenes from the movie and we kind of get the first inkling of what exactly is going on in the besides. Things you can connect the dots on your own and leaks if you paid attention to them, what could be going on. I like the Thor trailer. I think it served a different purpose. I'll be curious to see the number of views the X-Men trailer gets versus between Thor and the Cap trailer. And then I guess the fourth trailer is supposed to be the Fantastic Four Wakanda trailer. And then depending on what you hear, there's rumors that there's as many as six of these. Because they get some of this information, I think, from Korea, because the trailers have to be rated in Korea, which I assume is South Korea. That's not going out much of a limb to assume it's South Korea. We know there's at least five, I think, based on that fact, and there might be as many as six. So it's possible we are still going to get a Doctor Doom trailer. Obviously, it seems they've changed their marketing campaign to not give us Doom yet, though. it is a choice. Do I think these things are working? I don't know. It's tough. I mean, I guess by going back to the well with characters we actually care about, for the most part, I think that it's smart. I mean, the first three trailers would make sense. I mean, the fourth trailer might be debatable how much people are going to care about the Fantastic Four and Wakanda stuff. I mean, Wakanda people will care about a little, but again, it's not T'Challa. It's going to, maybe we'll see Shuri. Maybe we'll see M'Baku.
I don't remember.
M'Baku. Yeah. That, since technically he should be king of Wakanda at the moment, based on the way that last movie ended. He was the one doing the challenge because she wasn't there. But that's an interesting choice if that turns out to be true. And then after that, who really knows? It is still certainly it's an interesting choice what we haven't seen. If none of the new Avengers, any of those teams, show up in the Wakanda Fantastic Four trailer, then it is interesting that these are Avengers movies that they're being promoted so far, that have with stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with anybody at all who is currently an Avenger. And it's all the stuff that it's other teams and people who were Avengers that really aren't active Avengers anymore. So that's kind of interesting. But
yeah. I will say this: I don't know if I'm alone here, but the movie doesn't come out until the end of next year or this year, right?
Yep.
The amount of marketing they're doing now for a movie that comes out that far in advance, it's concerning to me. It makes me feel like they're trying to control the narrative as best they can, as long as they can, until the actual finished product hits, and they're worried it's not going to hit. Which I mean, given how their other films and stuff have been performing, and how this, you know, phase has gone, not just in terms of audience reception or public perception on social media, but actual numbers box office wise, and critic scores and stuff like that. I don't blame them for trying to hope that, you know, this is our sort of last ditch effort. We got to make sure this one of all of them succeeds, blah, blah, blah. But them trying to push this hard, this fast, this far in advance makes me wonder if they're even confident of their own product.
It can be interpreted multiple ways. I think you can make a case that they do know that what they have is certainly better than, if not everything they've given us in phases four through six, that certainly this is as good as anything they've gotten, let's say post phase three. That, and they're trying, and they know they have a lot, at least they're, no matter what, I think they're at least acknowledging that they have heavy lifting to do to try to get the interest back to where this movie was and where the MCU was. I mean, where, you know, Infinity War didn't have to sell anything. People were so gung-ho for Infinity War. People were pumped. I mean, let's be honest. People were so interested in Endgame. Look at all the money Captain Marvel made, considering people didn't even like the character, which has been kind of shown after the fact. That interest isn't there now. So they know they got a lot of heavy lifting. It is, and it's not surprising that they're trying to give you, they're going back to Thor, serious Thor. I kind of like short hair Thor. It's kind of nice to see short hair Thor back, unless it's just gonna be one of those misdirects. Like if those scenes are just, even I doubt the scenes are just shot for the trailer, because you see him with Love, who is of course Chris Hemsworth's real daughter. But if you didn't have that scene in it, you could say this was just shot for the trailer, so you might not really have long hair. I mean, I really have short hair, but I kind of like short hair Thor. Also an interesting choice, because we know short-haired Thor originally wasn't a choice. He just had his head shaved on Sakaar. So I kind of like the gravitas of that, having Steve, you know, people want, you know, kind of wanted Captain America back. We wanted Steve back. Doesn't necessarily change anything going forward, because, of course, old man Steve Rogers could have already lived through the events of Infinity, of Doomsday and Secret Wars, and safely got returned back to where he needed to go to live out the rest of his life, so he could eventually give the shield to Sam. It does not necessarily create another timeline again. It could be something that was, you know, those are things that he journeyed through before he ever got to that moment of giving Sam the shield. I don't know. I agree with you on some levels, but it's also what they haven't shown us is interesting. It is weird that they're not showing us Doctor Doom when the whole movie really is going to rise and fall on Dr. Doom ultimately. If
supposedly though, we're supposed to be getting a trailer. Isn't like he him, or this could be one of the many AI bullshit things out there of him like walking across a bunch of fallen Kangs.
I saw something like that too. I think that's what there's been multiple rumors or like I think scenes that are going to be in the movie or the first scene in the movie. Like there's some stuff with Spider-Man and Wolverine and Deadpool, which I don't really believe in the beginning of the movie. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I'd be surprised if Deadpool and Wolverine are in this movie, or if they are, it's going to be a very small part, maybe towards the end, because they probably are more likely to be a factor in Secret Wars than they are in Doomsday. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they do something with the Kangs to kind of, again, level up Doom, just like, you know, there's rumors and maybe wishful thinking that we're going to have a scene where he kills a version of Thanos too. But I don't know. But at the end of the day, this is all going to rise and fall on Dr. Doom and what kind of villain we think Dr. Doom is and what kind of threat we see. And that's what it comes down to, whether we think he's charismatic, whether he's parallaxian, where we can kind of see, you know, his point of view on what he's doing. And, you know, and depending on what's really going on, if the multiverse is really at a point where it's crumbling from within and there's nothing that really can be done to stop the entire multiverse from falling apart. The only thing you can do is save pieces of it, or maybe you could save one universe and that's all you can do. And anybody who's getting in the way is just not seeing the big picture realistically, at least from Doom's perspective. It's like we can save one thing or we save nothing, or we can save these fragments and build something new or we lose everything. The longer you kick the can to see Dr. Doom, it's maybe it raises the anticipation, but I think it also raises the question of whether they think Dr. Doom can carry the movie. And you would have to think all along the premise was that he could, because why would you cast Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doom to begin with if you didn't think that that you needed somebody who could carry the movie, and you needed someone who could make Dr. Doom the centerpiece of the movie that would actually work here? Because there's every reason to believe Doomsday is going to be just like Infinity War, from the perspective that Infinity War was really a Thanos movie with the Avengers in it, and that Doomsday is probably going to be a Doctor Doom movie with the Avengers and everybody else in it. I don't know. I'm still looking forward to it. I'm a little more looking forward to it because based on what they're focusing in on, I think even if it's just a temporary misdirect to make us kind of forget about all the stuff that didn't work in phases 4 through 6, but the fact that they seemingly are focusing in on what they know people want or what people care about, I think that's a plus, even again, if it's kind of a misdirect. And, you know, generally speaking, I still have faith in the Russos, though, again, you know, the Russos do have these issues with omnipotent characters. So it kind of makes me wonder, but they don't seem to have an issue with necessarily omnipotent villains, because Thanos was pretty omnipotent. So, but he, like, again, we haven't heard anything about Hulk, whether Hulk's going to be in Doomsday, or I mean, Secret Wars probably, but Doomsday, we haven't heard anything about that. Makes you wonder what Thor's role is going to be, since Thor was at least partially emasculated in Infinity War, though he got better at the end, clearly. I don't know. I'm interested. But we'll have to see. There's a lot of groundwork that has to be laid out still. But yes, I don't think this trailer a week thing, for if they're going to continue this for like months and months and months, is probably a good thing. I think people might get bored of this after a while if they keep doing that.
All right. Do we have anything else?
I don't think anything of relevance enough to talk about now.
Well, do you mind if I rant for a second? Because it's the only chance I'm going to get to do this on air.
Sure. Rant away.
This is the only time, well, I'll touch on this because the audience, by and large, doesn't seem to be interested in this. It's just you and I who have an interest in this. I'm very disappointed in my teams this season. Texas Tech is my college team. I will not elaborate on that. They didn't play like the team I've been watching all season. Just flat out. That's end of story. That's how that game went. Whatever. I'm disappointed as how Texas Tech wrapped up their season. The Carolina Panthers, as we record this, the Falcons have won their game, which means the Carolina Panthers have won the NFC South for the 2025 season. As a Panthers fan, I'm going to root for my team. Don't get me wrong. Upcoming games, so on and so forth. I want to see them do well. I want to see them continue to grow well, grow as an organization. Bryce
you know, come into leadership. I think forgetting the win record and everything and performance, I think I've seen Bryce step up as a leader, as a captain, as a quarterback for that team, and really kind of unite everybody around them, as has the coach. The coaches, I've been watching lots of behind the scenes stuff. The coach seems to have really formed a relationship with these guys. So I see good things in the future for the Panthers. That said, I was very disappointed in the Bucs game, and am I happy we won the NFC South? Sure. I don't think we deserved it. I don't like the idea of winning a championship or a division or whatever you want to call it based off of the win record or loss record of somebody else. I don't feel like we earned it, and it pisses me off that I didn't see either both of my two teams that I root for every year, Texas Tech and the Panthers, when it mattered, both of them choked, and it pissed me off. Now, there's stuff to be said about the Panthers-Bucks games in terms of how the refs did in that game, which I think is a very fair argument, not just because of my own personal biases, but regardless of that, I am still disappointed in performance overall, and I'm not going to go out and buy any 2025, NFC division merchandise for the Panthers unless I see it on sale somewhere, which is rare.
Wait 1 week. It might be on sale.
Yeah, maybe. but random thing fantasy wise, because I'm winning my current, I'm pretty much set to win my league, my family league. But I had Josh Allen in, and he played a snap just to have his record of starting, and then got off the field and fucked off.
You have your championship game. You have to change your settings. You can't have the final game of the regular season be your championship round. That happens all the time.
It's week 17 and 18.
Oh, it's a combo. Okay, but still, yeah, you should, given a choice, you should always try to have the your league end at least in the second to last game of the NFL season, not the last, to avoid things like that.
So yeah, Josh Allen played a single snap just to maintain his start record. No points on the board whatsoever. Meanwhile, Bo Nix, who's my backup quarterback, at least for this week, 10.54 points. But whatever, I wasn't here to talk fantasy. I'm disappointed in my teams this season. Neither of them played in this one week like teams I recognized. And I'm very disappointed, even though the Panthers come away with the head of the NFC South.
Yeah, on the bright side, at least you got in. Let's see. Who knows? They beat the Rams once. Maybe they can beat them again.
Yeah.
That would justify everything. I mean, you would feel redeemed to a large extent if they could win a game. There's a decent track record, at least, of the teams getting in with losing records to at least play well. They don't always win, but they almost always seem to surprisingly play well. Not all the time. I think the time the Buccaneers got in with Brady the last time with a losing record, I think they had a losing record. That's when the Cowboys beat the hell out of them. But for the most part, it's disappointing that they played like crap in the last 2 weeks. I mean, that's the part that's disappointing. They still played better than Tampa down the stretch, because Tampa only won like two of the last nine frigging games. But it didn't inspire a lot of confidence, the fact that they pretty much spit to bed against the Buccaneers, and they showed really no life except for when they scored that almost meaningless touchdown at the end of the final 3 minutes of the game or whatever. I mean, it could have been meaningless, obviously, if they could have recovered the onside kick, which almost never happens anymore.
Yeah.
But they made it interesting down the stretch. But
he says as he yawns.
Yeah, I'm yawning because it's 11 o'clock on a Sunday night.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And I'm also watching the Ravens and the Steelers. Not that I care all that much.
I care because I needed Jaylen Warren to go off, but.
Yeah, that was unlikely.
Yeah.
But he could still score a touchdown. There's 7 minutes left to go in the game. Assuming he didn't get hurt, because I haven't paid much attention to who's been hurt in this game. I know the Ravens have had a few players hurt. Obviously,
I already won my league by 6 points, so.
You just need, so you basically need a whole, you, what you don't need is a whole bunch of fumbles in the left by the same guy.
Yes.
Oh my God, he fumbled three times on one play. That's a minus six. What? That's not right. That would be funny though. I'm not for you, but I mean, it'd be funny mathematically if it would account like that. Like if you fumble, you recover your own fumble, then you move forward, you get stripped, you fumble again, but then you recovered one. That'd be because depending on the scoring in certain leagues, it doesn't really. Sometimes it doesn't matter who recovers the fumble; just you fumbling is straight up a minus two. But in other leagues, it does matter whether you lose the fumble or not. So I won my consolation bracket by like 1 point last week because what's his face, Corum on the running back for the Rams. God, that's all he got me. Because they just didn't use him in that game. I guess that must have been the Falcon game. That must have been the game the Rams lost to the Falcons. They didn't use him at all. So he got me like the 1 point that I needed to win. And then I'm like, oh God, just please don't give him the ball anymore because I can't afford for him to fumble the way things are going.
My Yahoo League, I was 6-8 and like in sixth place of like 12 people, but somehow ended up in the final face-off for second place.
It must be a really lenient playoff system.
Yeah. I know nobody out there really cares. It's just, as we record this, it's super fresh on my mind. I'm very disappointed. It's the news of the Falcons winning, which puts the Panthers in the NFC division title. It does little, it's little comfort. It doesn't mean anything. I don't feel like we earned it. So, I just wanted to get it off my chest while it's relevant. And to end on something Green Lantern related, I bought Green Lantern number 5. For like $35, $40 plus shipping, basically, including shipping, the other day. So if anybody out there is still looking for good Green Lantern deals, despite the fact that, you know, Lanterns is coming up and we're about to have big media representation, which always pushes the price of these things up on the aftermarket, they can still be found. You just have to look hard enough.
That is true.
But in the meantime, if people want to listen to us in 2026, what do they do?
Pray. And then lanterncast@gmail.com. The website is lanterncast.com. You can follow us on Blue Sky, Twitter, like us on Facebook, #geocast to track us down. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, wherever you listen to us, please leave us a positive review. Last but not least, if you'd like to leave us a text or a voicemail, 708 Lantern, and let us know what you think.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.